everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, midweek edition, and now a little bit beyond the middle of December. Tom Fairbanks, engineering and producing the show. Tom, I got a couple of raindrops. I guess this is kind of the warm up to a pretty good rainstorm that we will be getting anywhere from a half inch to maybe an inch and more in the Tucson Valley.
You can pretty much rely on the need for a raincoat or an umbrella of some kind.
Yeah, I think we're going to get some moisture, and it's always welcome here in the desert because I do have a juniper pine. My friends from Bartlett Tree Service, I'll give them a plug. They're not a sponsor, but they're wonderful tree arborists. Came out and took a look at it, and I learned that it is only one of three juniper pines in the Tucson Valley that they know about. That's junipers are those silver kind of pines that you'd see more typically up in like by Prescott or over near Silver City. But anyway, it was a Christmas tree many, many years ago.
You call them the lost pines.
And it has survived. So Kevin Dahl is with me in studio, the vice mayor of the city of Tucson. And Kevin is, I think, surprised what I just said. It is quite a rare tree. Maybe I shouldn't say that I've got a rare tree on the property. Kevin, good to see you.
Good to see you,
You
Bill.
Know where I'm going with this.
I love trees. Yes, and junipers are very nice trees.
They are.
And they flavor gin. Juniper berries are the flavor of gin.
Yeah, and we don't like people just cutting trees willy-nilly.
No.
And we know that someone cut down quite a few trees in your district. Any news on that?
No. The police are still investigating the slaughter of 44 trees in the Navajo Wash, which is,
near
Mountain and Fort Lowell, which were apparently cut down in an effort to drive out people who currently experiencing houselessness, who were living there, thinking that the lack of shade would drive them away. It hasn't done that, and it was just a horrible thing. Neighbors who had planted those trees years and years ago were very upset. And,
I bet.
Yeah. We'll plant the trees again this spring.
We are in the Green Thing Zocalo Village studio. It is Wednesday, December the 20th. Green Thing Zocalo Village, the naming rights to our studio during the Buckmaster Show. And we're part of the Bustos Media Tucson Group. Now we've got five radio stations under one roof, the latest acquisition, The Drive. So a very popular station. But this station is 1030 KVOI. Tucson's voice, and really now the only source for a live local radio in news and talk in Tucson. We have our worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com. Our live line for our telephone interviews presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Kevin Dahl is a member of the Tucson City Council representing Ward 3. He was recently elected by his council colleagues as the vice mayor. Kevin was born in the District of Columbia. He graduated from Prescott College in 1990. His professional experience includes, this is where I met him when he was at Seed Search. He was, before he came to the council, the program manager for the National Parks Conservation Association, and he took office December the 6th, 2021. So you've got 2 years under your belt.
2 years under my belt.
Did I get that? You had Native Seed Search.
I was executive director of Native Seed Search. Yeah, wonderful organization.
That's where I first met you.
Yeah.
So, vice mayor, this is a little different. It's normally had been kind of rotated, but now your colleagues voted you the vice mayor, but with that comes some additional responsibilities.
Yes, my colleagues, council member Lane Santa Cruz and Nikki Lee, did some investigating on how other cities use the position of vice mayor, and they suggested that we're a big city, the mayor needs help. So most of the new responsibilities will be serving at the direction of the mayor in representing the city on organizations like the League of Arizona League of Cities and and towns, or lobbying at the state legislature or in D.C., or who knows what. This is new to Tucson, and we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, you may do have some travel in your future. Business travel.
I haven't done that since COVID, but I will
yes,
do it.
You have
for
some
the good of Tucson.
May have some business travel in your future. We had the Attorney General for Arizona on our Friday Focus interview, Chris Mays. Tim Steller from The Star and myself asked her about the election, which was pretty close, within just under 300 votes, where Prop 413, the voters said yes to giving the council members and the mayor a substantial pay raise, the first hike there in about 25 years. And Attorney General May said, well, it's in her stack of stuff. She has not gotten around to it. But it's been my experience. These recounts may change two or three votes. I doubt if this is going to change.
I don't think it would if we have to do a recount. Our city attorney has determined that the recount law, the state law that would require us, is vague and doesn't really apply to ballot measures. It applies to elections of elected officials. But to make sure our I's are dotted and our T's are crossed, we've asked for an attorney general opinion and to confirm this. And if the attorney general says, no, you have to do a recount, we will do a recount. Under the state law, the state would have to pay for it. So, but you're right. The election this year was conducted by Pima County, and their elections department are very thorough. It's putting papers through machines. You don't get much difference.
No.
It's not a hand count, which is
couple
can
of
have
votes.
A lot.
Yeah. Couple of votes, maybe. But I was surprised. Traditionally, these things go down. It was a year to say yes. All the school measures passed, and voters said, "Yeah, let's make our city council, let's make the council people full-time council people, and not, you know, doing other things."
And thank you, City of Tucson voters. I think they voted the right way. I voted for this similar measure every time I've been able to vote. I appreciate the extra money. That'll be beneficial to me and my family and my colleagues, I'm sure, too. And in some cases, it will allow my colleagues to not work outside of the city council. And they've been doing a great job, but they'll do a better job when they can focus all their attention. But it opens it up for people who could not possibly support their family for $24,000 a year, who have kids in school, need to save for college. Working families, what we were getting were people who had money or were retired or had to work a second job, and their focus was split. So thank you, voters. I think over time we will get a better city council.
Oh, this is good. I have no question in my mind. This will attract people. This salary will be an incentive for people. And you're right. Maybe younger people.
Yes.
You're right. Traditionally, people have been retired. They have the other income, and this has become like, I don't want to say hobby. Well, I'll say it, hobby. They're like console hobbyists. I mean, it was.
I'm not going to take that insult personally,
no.
Bill. But
you're
I understand what you're saying.
Servant.
That's right.
Yeah. So, well, we know what you mean. It's just what I mean.
Yes.
Anyway, what's going on with the buses? Are we going to keep the transit fare is free?
That is my desire, and I will work hard as ever to keep them free. I think it's a public utility, and it's so beneficial to people who don't have other options, who can't afford to own a car but need to commute. It's beneficial for the students at Pima and at U of A and TUSD students who ride the buses regularly. And because of the way we did it, the city of Tucson will be well informed if we're on the path to change it. We have to go through a federal process to make sure that we're not doing anything illegal if we bring back the fares. So that there's not any intent. What happened, and what this was in the news, Bill, you saw it, we were disappointed. There was a transit task force that was empowered to reach out to some institutions that we thought would partner with us. In the past, the U of A has contributed to the transit system by...
Because so many students...
They subsidize students.
And faculty ride the bus.
And now they don't have to. but we got no indications of support coming for free fares from Pima College, from TUSD, from the other school districts. So that's disappointing, but we'll continue to work to find more than just general funds to support this transit system, which is so vital. It's a climate change solution, getting people out of their cars. It's a traffic solution when you get people who are commuting out of their cars, the streets aren't as crowded. So I'm all in favor of the free transit.
And we're going ahead with the diesel-powered buses?
Yeah, we got a federal grant to switch out of diesel power.
Yeah, not
to get,
rid of the
compressed
diesel.
Natural gases. I would have preferred...
Smoke coming out of the diesels.
Yeah, it's the least clean of all of our energy sources for buses. But I would prefer electric buses. We weren't prepared with the infrastructure for that. So this is a step on our transition to electrifying our buses and getting away from using fossil fuels at all for our transit.
Because to electrify a bus, you need a huge battery, and we don't have the infrastructure yet.
Have that much power coming to where the buses are parked. So, we need to work with TEP and get prepared for that. And there's new technologies. There's some technologies where buses, like streetcars of old that used to get electrified by wires overhead, but through systems in the road underneath them can get energy. So our future will be electrified.
The Ward 3 Councilman, Kevin Dahl, is with us. He's Vice Mayor of the City of Tucson. We're going to talk now, Kevin, about Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle. Me just saying Danish Kringle. You say Kringle, I think of Kris Kringle, and of course, so it's holiday time. And how about a Kringle for Christmas Eve, Christmas morning, or the lead-up to Christmas this weekend? Check it out, Mona's Danish Bakery, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Their website's monasdanishbakery.com. They're open right now for lunch. They open for breakfast at 6:30. The only day off they're taking, well-deserved, on Monday, which happens to be Christmas. So that all works out, but definitely... check it out for the Kringle, for your dinner rolls, for the Christmas table, for your pies, for the holidays. They've got you covered at Mona's. More with Kevin Dahl after we take our first break on the midweek edition of the Buckmaster Show. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year plan includes roadway, transit, pedestrian, bicycle, and many other transportation improvements across the region. Pima County voters approved the plan in 2006, and the RTA is working with the Citizens Advisory Committee to prepare and present a new draft plan to the RTA board by December. Sign up at rtanext.com for updates.
Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in Southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in Southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
Family-owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio, our live line for our telephone interviews, which we will be utilizing when we do travel talk with Ryan Hansen. Ryan will be calling in at about 12:30 for our monthly travel talk. We'll talk about some of the top destinations that are expected to be the top destinations in 2024. Right now, we continue with Vice Mayor of the City of Tucson, Kevin Dahl, a Democrat who represents Ward Number 3. We do have the holidays quickly approaching. Have you done anything as far as your particular ward try to help some families this holiday season?
Well, we sure have, Bill. We've been collecting material for people who live at the Wildcat Inn, which is the Tucson Housing First program, low barrier housing for people who are homeless. It's the old motel on Miracle Mile, and now it's a place where people can come, close, lock the door, their possessions are safe, they get a shower, there's food, there's wraparound services, and it's been very successful in helping people transition to permanent housing. In the last month, we've noticed that a lot of families are showing up, and before we didn't see anybody with children. And this was news to me. I learned that people who are on the streets with kids are very reluctant to go to shelters or get services because they're afraid that Child Protective Services will take away their kids. Very important for them to stay with their kids. And now that they know that this is a place where they can get services, get stabilized, and Child Protective Services will not come and take their kids, we're seeing a lot of families. We had 80 kids there. So in addition to collecting stuff for people who are transitioning and getting a voucher, getting a new apartment, have nothing. We've been collecting bedding, kitchen material, anything that would help set up a household. We thought, well, let's do a Christmas party. We did this Saturday, and it was such a blast. Santa came. Their kids rioted when they saw Santa. But Santa was pretty smart. He decided, rather than try to organize them, they said, let's go for a march. And they did a parade around the parking lot, creating a natural line so that when he came back to his seat, the line was there, and the other helpers could keep the line in order.
Did the children receive a small gift?
Not small gifts. They got a lot of gifts.
Oh.
We reached out to people. Your sponsor, Green Things.
Yes, did Green Things help out?
We got red poinsettias for every room at not just this facility, but also the Amazon Motel where elders live.
And wonderful.
And some of those seniors came and watched this thing. A couple of comic book stores, Heroes and Villains, and Fantasy Comics donated an enormous number of graphic novels and comic books that the kids loved. We had Native Seed Search seeds in little pots for the kids to plant, and then we had an anonymous donor give us $1,000 for gifts. Someone from the city's community health, safety, and welfare group, he and his partner did a drag show fundraiser to provide money. And then in our newsletter, we announced it, and so many people donated toys and gifts. It was just completely wonderful.
Well, that's wonderful. And Green Things, they grew 21,000 poinsettias, and so they give a lot of them to charity. I got to tell you, so I'm not surprised that they helped out in that situation. Speaking of great sponsors, Kevin, Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. You know Silver City.
What a great place to visit.
Yeah. It's just about a three-hour drive east of Tucson. Their great website, southwestnewmexico.org. People have time off over the holidays. Be a great family getaway. They've decorated downtown Silver City, all that wonderful Victorian architecture from the 1880s to about 1910. Some great old homes there. They're all decorated. So it'd be a great outing for you. Again, southwestnewmexico.org. Our live line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. And let's go now to the live line. Kevin, you're going to need to put your headset on so you'll be able to hear Chuck. Go ahead, Chuck.
Yes, Councilman Dahl, It's my understanding that the HERF funds are going to be about $2 million less than last year. And we've heard nothing about the VLT. But most of that money, the city of Tucson goes to pay transportation costs, such as paychecks and fixing buses and so on and so forth, instead of going where it really should go, and that's to repair and build maybe new roads. Can you tell me why this is and doesn't go in the general fund?
Okay, maybe Councilman Dahl can respond to that.
Well, that is frightening if we're going to be losing some HERF money. We use all the money we can to support our transportation system, and that includes not only building roads and repairing them, but pedestrians, bikeways, safety measures, the streetlights at intersections, et cetera. How we allocate them is complicated, and I don't, even though I've been doing this for 2 years, I'm no expert. We look at it every year, and that will be a budget item for next year that will be coming up in the next couple of months, so I'll be looking at that closely then. We do have other sources of money for streets. We passed a half-cent sales tax that over the next, well, now not 8 or 9 years, will touch every neighborhood street.
Is that underway?
Yes, yeah, and the first projects are being done, and a question I get all the time is my street going to be done soon?
Mm-hmm.
And there is an online, on our website, on the city's website, where you can go and interactive map. You can check when your street has been chosen, if it's been chosen in the first 5 years, I think they have on there now. It's a complicated system of determining what street gets done first. The professionals evaluated and ranked all the streets. But even if they're the worst street, doesn't necessarily mean they'll get done right away, because there might be a utility project planned in the next year. So all that has to be integrated. And we're concerned about equity, too. There is a independent citizens commission that reviews everything and makes additional recommendations. And so that system is going on. We're at the tail end of the regional transportation, the RTA, and there's the possibility that that will be renewed. I'm thinking that it probably won't, but the city of Tucson can go alone in renewing that sales tax and using it for street improvements and for, like you say, new streets.
Your feeling, your gut feeling is that the city council will not get on board with RTA?
My gut is that I won't get on
board. Oh, you won't get on board.
Yeah, okay. We'll see with the city council. And they're still trying to figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very concerned about equity in the situation.
Okay.
The city of Tucson has huge needs for streets, and we are the majority of the voters for this regional plan, and we provide the majority of the money with our sales tax, and we need to get an equitable amount of improvements to our streets. Otherwise, it's a tax on poor people in Tucson to create great streets up in the foothills where people should be... where the county and the other municipalities should be paying for those streets. So I'm going to look at it with a real jaundiced eye. I don't think...
But you haven't made up your mind yet.
No, but I'm leaning towards not supporting it, Bill.
Okay.
The management of PAG disturbs me completely. I don't think they're making up rules. The Citizens Advisory Committee has been very frustrated, and city staff has been frustrated. Maybe we'll get what we want, but I'm doubtful.
What about the 22nd Street Bridge? There was a lot of concern about that project. It's been postponed and kind of got a redo on the design, right?
Yeah, I think the big problem was trying to put a bike path in the middle, and someone riding their bike would have to do two crossings at the beginning of the bridge and the back.
Dangerous.
Trying to save money by doing one bike path on the bridge rather than two. So I think they're going back to the drawing board on that.
And that one, that's what we're talking about, is over the 22nd Street
Bridge. It's 22nd Street Bridge that goes over the railroads.
So we've only got about a minute. How would you characterize 2023 for the city?
Well, I think we survived. It was a
yes,
very hot summer.
Yeah.
And as you know, climate change is always on my mind. The city has had a robust response to climate change. We've hired a chief resiliency officer. There are plans in place, and there's buckets of money to be spent to reduce our carbon footprint, but also prepare for the impacts of hotter temperatures in the summer, increased strain on our electrical system, vulnerable people needing places to go find respite and get cool, and stronger storms. We survived and had some fun along the way, and here comes 2024. May it be a better year for us all.
Oh, yes. I cannot wait for 2024. As everyone knows, I'm really looking forward to New Year's Day and jettisoning, putting 23 in the rear view. I even threw away all the calendars that I had around the house. They're already in the garbage. From 23 and all of Ann's cancer doctor appointments and all that. I just threw the whole thing away. Start all over again in 24. All right, Kevin Dahl, thank you very much.
Thank you,
and I hope you and yours have a wonderful Christmas.
Thanks.
All right, take a break right here. Travel Talk with Ryan Hansen's coming right up. We'll talk about where Ryan has some great ideas for 2024, speaking of 24, trips to take. Be right back.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com. Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org. For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rialto River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
I've known the Chavez family for 35 years, and thanks to Chavez since 67, you won't find any soft, saggy cushions at the Buckmaster Bungalow. Chavez since 67 can restuff your cushions with new, firm, high-density foam. What a difference that makes. They also offer full upholstery services. Give them a call at 520-795-8032 or check out the website, ChavezSince67.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show and the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. Time for insider travel talk on the Buckmaster Show with our travel contributor. And he knows a lot about travel. And he's been a lot of places too. Ryan Hansen, president and chief operating officer of Bon Voyage Travel, which is Arizona's premier agency, travel agency, has been so since 1976. Fine tradition there at Bon Voyage, and what a team. They're travel experts. They're standing by right now. They can create, and they'll gladly do it for you, your trip of a lifetime. There are three Southern Arizona Bon Voyage offices, River and Campbell, Green Valley, and Oro Valley. Great website as well, chocked full of content. BVTravel.com, your first stop in making your travel dreams come true. Here he is, Mr. Ryan Hansen. Ryan, how are you?
Happy holidays, Bill. Glad we're on and talking travel around the holidays.
Yeah, and a lot of people are traveling around the holidays. In fact, here we are Wednesday. Tomorrow really kind of launches, doesn't it, Rhino, the kind of official holiday travel period, according to the TSA folks?
Yeah, according to TSA, tomorrow through January 2nd is the official holiday travel period, and they're projecting a very, very busy couple of days. And so if you have flights on the following days, you better prepare and plan ahead and get to the airport early. And it's probably any day between tomorrow and January 2nd. But the busiest days they're projecting is tomorrow and Friday, December 29th. Those are the days of significant travel. Obviously, you can kind of figure out how those weekends work, and a lot of people may be taking a day off on Friday, but TSA's got the data. They're seeing all of the flights and the number of passengers that are coming through, and they maybe anticipate possibly the largest screening day in the history of TSA, which it will top November 26th of this year, which was the Sunday after Thanksgiving. Which they screened more than 2.9 million passengers this year. So they're anticipating a very, very busy holiday season.
Are people traveling by and large to domestically, and some travel over the holidays internationally? And I wonder if those destinations pretty much line up with where people went in 2023. And let's talk then about where people may be going in 2024.
You bet. It's exciting to kind of look at the most popular destinations. From a holiday standpoint, so many people are traveling domestically, primarily to visit family. But those that are looking for more of a vacation experience, you can look no further than your beach destinations. That's primarily where people are headed, outside of New York City for Christmas in the Manhattan area, or Disney World, Orlando, and Las Vegas, obviously, always top the vacation travel destinations, regardless of the time of year. But then when you start looking internationally, you can pretty much just dot up the Caribbean or Mexico or even Hawaii as very popular destinations for what we call in the industry festive. This is festive season. So those warm destinations really drive a lot of travelers from an American standpoint. Obviously, Bill, here we are today. It's starting to feel a little more holiday-ish here in Tucson as the weather starts to turn a little cooler, and a little rain this morning here in Tucson. But so many of those Midwestern and Eastern people that live on the East Coast, they want to get to warm weather destinations. So we see a spike in those destinations around festive, around the holidays for sure.
Let's talk about a little bit about where people traveled this year internationally, Ryan Hansen.
Internationally, you can dot up a few places. Europe is still exceptionally popular for especially American travelers. And the number one destination for American and North American travelers has always been, at least for the last 20 years, and that was no different here in 2023, and I don't anticipate it changing. Italy. Italy is always the number one destination for North American travels, but France is definitely seeing a spike. Paris is back on the map for many, many travelers. I anticipate from a global standpoint, Paris will be very frequented this coming summer, primarily because of the Olympics. A lot of people want to be in and around all of the Olympic venues and sporting events, so they will tie that into a larger trip in France. But then when you look beyond Europe, the destinations that are starting to kind of get back on the map, Australia and New Zealand are finally coming back into 2024 because of the closure during the pandemic. You couldn't travel there, and then it opened slower than most destinations, but that is back on the map as a very popular place for people to travel. The other areas of Asia, Japan is back online, and so a lot of people are looking at Japan, but we always are seeing a slow to now more higher increase of travel to those very exotic expedition style destinations of the Galapagos, of Antarctica, the Arctic. Greenland and Iceland will continue to be very popular destinations in 2024 for people to travel. I know those are places, some of those places you've been, Bill, and I think a couple of them still might be on your bucket list.
Oh, yeah. I've got the bucket list, all right. And one area that's is really coming on, and now I'm into that area, unfortunately, because of Anne's passing. I'm now in that solo travel group, and apparently, from what I'm hearing in your industry, this is one of the fastest-growing segments of your business, Ryan Hansen.
Yeah, so much so. And you've lived like a wonderful life, as you mentioned, with Anne traveling the world to over 100 countries. And we see a lot of folks that is how they've traveled and enjoyed it. And there is something special about traveling and enjoying it with your loved one. It makes it more memorable. But travel can be as enriching as a solo traveler as it was when you were traveling with loved ones. And we're seeing the not just solo as in I'm a single person. We're seeing solo travel spike with people that, let's say, a very emerging market, Bill, would find this one, follow the bouncing ball of this, is a lot of retired women whose husbands don't want to travel. They're just not interested in traveling. Solo women want to travel with other independent, strong, former business women and travel with like-minded females. And it's called solo travel because they're traveling by themselves, but they're traveling with a group of other like-minded individuals in that realm that share the same type of likes and interests. That's a huge growing market. And on top of that, we're seeing the next generation of travelers that are the younger generation, the 20-year-olds that are postponing big life decisions. They're not getting married. They're not settling down and buying a house and having kids. They are traveling. 42% of younger Americans in 2024 are reporting that they're going to travel alone. And so that's a new trend where many times you'd see the 20-year-olds getting married young and honeymooning and traveling before they have kids. Many of them now are postponing those big decisions for more experiential type life decisions that travel can offer.
And this is impacting the cruising business, isn't it, Ryan Hansen?
The cruise industry has had to change, Bill, you know, primarily for many, many years, almost the dawn of cruising, it was synonymous with double occupancy cabins.
Yes.
Double occupancy type of excursions and experiences were really catered to more of the traditional and historical view of a man and a woman that are married. And now the world that we live in, Bill, everyone is coming with a different flavor and a different style and what makes sense to them at the time of life that are in. So the travel industry has had to change the way in which they package product, the way in which they price product, to cater to the various needs of the new traveler. And the new traveler is a solo person. So cruise lines are building new ships. Many of the new ships that have come online in 2023 that will come online in 2024 have cabins and staterooms that are purpose-built for a solo traveler. Maybe don't need the double vanity, right? Don't need all of the storage space. And that it's priced accordingly. So many times if you wanted to travel by yourself on a cruise, you had to pay for the person that didn't travel with you because that's just how the cruise industry priced it. They priced the cabin as double occupancy, so you have to pay for two, even if you were only a solo traveler consuming food and beverage as a solo traveler. The cruise industry has come on board, and so that's new and exciting, I think, for those folks that may have tried cruising or looked at it in the past, and it was like, that makes no sense. Why would I pay for two people if I'm traveling solo? The industry is changing, and it's changing for the better for the consumer.
And your team at Bon Voyage, up to speed, of course, on which of the cruise lines are even more leaning toward are solo travel friendly?
Yeah, our staff would know, obviously, the pricing that is more friendly towards a solo traveler, the accommodations that are more suited for a solo travel, but also which cruise lines encourage solo travelers. Because, again, a solo traveler's mindset is not always synonymous with I want to travel by myself, mm-hmm. always and everything I do. It's just I'm leaving my home by myself. I may want to meet and congregate and be around other like-minded solo travelers.
Right.
And so there are different cruise lines that encourage that, that have activities and excursions and get-togethers that foster that type of community. Even if you're a solo traveler, you don't necessarily want to just be by yourself all the time. So
right.
Our advisors are experts in that style of travel.
All right, let's take a break right here. It is our travel talk, our monthly travel talk with Ryan Hansen from Bon Voyage Travel. BVTravel.com is the website. Be right back with Ryan.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastropub, serving an ever-changing menu of craft beer and fine fare. Savor the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at West Lambert Lane and North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies. On the web at noblehops.com.
At Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We're also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
The Regional Transportation Authority Plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax. The RTA is collected throughout Pima County and averages more than $100 million in revenue each month. The RTA is the largest annual funder of regional transportation improvements in the region. The RTA is preparing a new 20-year plan for public review. Sign up at rtanext.com for updates.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Thinking about a river cruise? Let Bon Voyage Travel guide you to choose the perfect cruise to complement your vacation dreams. River cruising has become more popular than ever, and we know you have so many options to consider when selecting the destination, cruise line, and ship. At Bon Voyage Travel, we provide a comprehensive presentation on the top tips for river cruises and have a team of specialists to assist you. Visit bvtravel.com and view our River Cruise 101 presentation today.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. We're doing Travel Talk. It's our monthly segment with Ryan Hansen of Bon Voyage Travel, talking about travel trends, how things are changing, what people want in a hotel. Let's begin with that one, Ryan, the trending toward people want sustainable and they want local experiences in their hotel.
Yeah, we love, as the calendar turns, Bill, to kind of see what new emerging trends are going to happen in the industry. And one of those, in the hotel space, as you've mentioned, is the sustainability of the hotel. What are they doing to reduce their carbon footprint? What are they doing to be a better local person or a better local company to not erode what's going on and take away from the resources of whatever destination that they're in? Are they packaging eco-friendly products? Are they laundering the towels every day unnecessarily, right? All of those things are becoming far more important to travelers now. They want to partner with, they want to spend their money with companies that think that way and that are really recognizing that we're here and need to be respectful of the resources that Earth is out there for us. And then the local experience aspect, that's the next element that people want. They're not just looking at hotels as a place to sleep anymore. I just need a clean room and a nice bed and a clean bathroom and I'm good to go. Outside of that, I don't care about my hotel. Really, hotels are looking to be more immersive and more organically connected to the location that they're in, creating, you know, experiences for the traveler that makes them feel local. Let's say it might be in an area that has beautiful outdoors in Colorado, so they're creating fire pit areas for congregations and hiking and sightseeing options. Or if you're in an urban setting, you've got more connections to shopping and restaurants and activities that create that bustling atmosphere that you would want in an urban setting, Bill.
So people do want a local experience, and in many ways, some of these hotels are becoming destinations in themselves, Ryan Hansen.
Yeah, when you start talking about resort properties that are connected to beach areas or mountainous regions, they want to provide, obviously, more than just the bed to stay in, and that's creating more value for a traveler. And that's what hotels are trying to do instead of, again, just be a place to sleep. They're looking to kind of cultivate a sense of place and be into that destination. And so it's more than just a trip to the hotel. It's a trip to the local area. So they're really trying to tailor and address those individual needs as you come into a hotel. What else do you want to do when you're there? They want to be kind of more things to more people versus just a place to sleep.
And they want a wellness component in many cases with their property.
You know, that is a definite emerging trend, and it's not just for 2024. We've been seeing that come along. People are looking at their nutrition needs. They're looking at getting away from work and how they're looking at themselves on a vacation experience. And so how do I incorporate yoga? How do I incorporate, breathing exercises and other wellness things such as massages into my stay at a property? And if it's right there, it's close to where I'm staying and eat, and my meal plan that I live on at home, I want to continue that into my vacation. Some people want to indulge, but they don't want to go overboard, right, Bill? They want to stay maintaining their healthy lifestyle. So hotels and travelers are really looking at wellness as a lifestyle, not just this is what I do when I'm home. I want to incorporate it into every component of my life. And another thing, Bill, when you're looking at travel and hotels in particular, and you can look at cruise lines as well in this space, is how do cruise lines and hotels continue to evolve in the technology space, making it more accessible, utilizing your cell phone for apps that are connected to your hotel experience or your cruise line experience or your air travel experience, but not losing that human connection, making it more easy to access your room, right? A keyless entry into your room by your phone, but also having a personal touch in case something goes wrong. Hotels are trying to find those balances between being all technology driven or I have to go talk to somebody in person for everything that I need. How do you find those balances to make that hotel stay more enriching?
Your colleagues in the business say that the luxury cruise bookings are up 44% over the past year, Ryan Hansen.
Yeah, people are traveling, Bill, and they're willing to spend more than what they did pre-pandemic. And that's not really anything new. What we've seen, you know, even outside the travel space is is those boomers and those newly retirees are looking at experiences. And one of the experiences that they love is luxury travel. Again, indulging, maybe not in just in the food side of things, but indulging in their accommodations or their style of travel, making it more private and making it more exclusive. What does luxury mean to you? That can kind of be an eye of the beholder type question. So how I would define luxury, Bill, is choice, flexibility, and exclusivity. Those three things is really what we look at luxury. So if you're a traveler that wants what you want when you want it, you want to be flexible and be able to do anything you want, kind of customized to you, not the one-size-fits-all travel experience, and you want something that's exclusive, that's either private or something that not everybody gets to do, then you're a luxury traveler. And that could be a hotel, that could be a cruise, that could be a tour, that you have a private guided tour of a special destination. And luxury travel is definitely on the rise.
Can organizations like Bon Voyage, with all your connections, save the traveler some money in that area?
Absolutely. It's not just an endless price tag. So because of our connections, we have what we refer to in the industry as destination specialists. So we have the connections all over the globe of people that are in destination that know these off the beaten path experiences. They sell that and they book it frequently. So they're able to, you know, it's not just you buying one time a private guide in Hong Kong to take you around the different neighborhoods of Hong Kong. We have connections with people that live in Hong Kong that do this all the time. And when you buy in bulk, right, at Costco, you typically get a deal. This even happens in the luxury space. When you work with us, we sell to hundreds of thousands of travelers on a given year. And so we're able to help drive those prices down and really enhance value. Even in the most expensive of types of travel, you still want to create the best value as a consumer. And we're able to help you with that.
And booking, really, now is the time to book, because we're looking at, like, Europe is going to be off the charts this summer. This is really the time. If you're thinking about Europe or even a trip to Asia, you really do need to book in advance.
Yeah, it's interesting, Bill. Those exotic destinations always need to be booked out way in advance because of the nature of the bucket list that people look to far, far into the future. Typically, you could wait until February, March for a summer vacation, right? Back in, you know, 10 years ago, even 5 years ago, if you wanted to go to Europe or go to Alaska, you could wait till February or March for that same summer vacation experience. But what we're finding now is you are not going to have the same number of options. The pricing is most likely going to go up because supply is going to get more and more limited as time goes by. So sit down at the holidays with your family and contact us shortly after the first of the year to get the best pricing, the most availability for that destination that your family said, we've got to go to Italy. We've got to go on an Alaska cruise. We've got to go to Tahiti, right? Yep. I mean, that's the beauty of our job, Bill, and travel is the list of options is truly endless in the world of travel.
Travel will come up around the Christmas tree in many households for sure. Ryan Hansen, thank you very much. My regards to you and your lovely family. Hope it's a wonderful holiday season. Thanks, Rhino.
Happy holidays to you and a quickly belated birthday. You share a birthday with my oldest son, so I will always remember when it's Bill Buckmaster's birthday, my friend.
December 16th. It is a good day. Thank you, Ryan.
It is a good day. That's right. Thanks, Bill. Take care.
Happy New Year. Thanks. All right. On behalf of Ryan Hansen at Bon Voyage Travel, Tom Fairbanks, engineering and producing the show, I'm Bill Buckmaster. Hope everybody has a good afternoon.